sit down whilst Hilary comes to read for us. Thank you, Hilary.
The reading today is taken from John's Gospel, chapter 18, verse 33 to 37. And it can be found in the Bible on 1087, page 1087. That's John, chapter 18, verse 33 to 37. Pilate then went back inside the palace, summoned Jesus and asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" "Is that your own idea?" Jesus asked. "Or did others talk to you about me?" "Am I a Jew?" Pilate replied. "It was your people and your chief priests who handed you over to me. What is it that you've done?" Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my servants would fight to prevent my arrest by the Jews. But now my kingdom is from another place." "You are a king then?" said Pilate. "Yes," Jesus answered. "You are right in saying I am a king. In fact, for this reason I was born, and for this I came into the world to testify to the truth. Everyone on the side of truth listens to me." This is the word of the Lord.
With apologies for my acting skills, but do you remember this? Four candles. Four candles. Four candles. Here you are, sir. Four candles. No, four candles. Exactly, no. Well, there you are, sir, four candles. No, four candles, handles for forks. Four candles. Thought you said four candles. Two people talking the same language, but really not understanding each other. And in our Bible reading, Pilate is trying to keep order in Israel on behalf of Emperor Tiberius. It's like trying to keep the lid on a simmering pot of water. Every so often the lid threatens to slip off. And so he's keen to show who is boss. So Pilate asks Jesus, "Are you the king?" And Jesus replies, as we heard, "Did you think of that, or did other people tell you about me?" And their conversation ends up with Jesus explaining that they're talking about different kinds of kingdom. "My kingdom," says Jesus, "isn't the sort we have in this world. It's not the sort of kingdom that comes from this world. In those days, kings were the kind of bosses who could and did give commands for all baby boys to be slaughtered under the age of two if they felt threatened. Is that the kind of king Jesus is?" "No," he says, "definitely not that kind of king." Now, the Jewish leaders claimed to be worshipping one God, as their scriptures told them to. But because they're jealous of Jesus and all the attention he's getting from the people, they put him forward on this trumped-up charge, trying to get him crucified. And they actually end up betraying their own beliefs, because we read in the next chapter in John, we see here that Pilate says, "Shall I crucify your king?" And they answer, "We have no king but Caesar." But what about Jesus himself? How does he react to this questioning? Because that's what we're really focusing on this morning. Well, he doesn't act like a wimp or a cowering coward. He doesn't act like a doormat. He's not afraid of his enemies, but he does show us a different way to deal with conflict. As he speaks, we see an incredible picture of a servant king and a suffering king. Is it possible to be a servant and a king? That doesn't seem quite right, does it? Can you be a servant and a king? Is it possible to be the one in charge and yet be the one who suffers? Who suffers right to death on a cross? Well, Philippians chapter 2 tells us just why Jesus did come as a suffering and servant king. We read that he did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Some versions say, or something to be grasped, to be clung onto. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Jesus knew this was the only way to overcome sin. For a perfect king to lay down his rights, to lay down his life, and choose to suffer for you and for me. So, what might this mean for you and for me this time tomorrow? It means learning to be like Jesus, choosing to love people with a servant heart, not claiming our rights, even in something as everyday as the way we drive our cars. Not acting as if we own the road or have a prior right to be in front of somebody else rather than behind them. Not acting as if we know it all and we are superior, but recognising that God's Spirit is at work in every other driver we encounter. That is, of course, just one example, and for some of you who aren't drivers, you'll be thinking, I don't know about that. It doesn't really relate to my life. But perhaps it means having the same attitude as Jesus when the lady at the checkout only grunts and scowls at us, or when the paper boy puts the wrong paper through our front door. It means treating our employees and the people who work in our teams as if they are precious in God's sight, because they are. It might mean a bit of a revolution in the way that we view other people. We may have grown up with a feeling that everybody else should be kept at a bit of a distance, unless they have earned the right to come close to us. But perhaps allowing Jesus to be king in our lives means something rather different. Maybe it means behaving differently to the way our characters have been moulded and shaped by our society or our upbringing. Perhaps letting Jesus be king in our lives will mean a turnaround for us. Above all, it means celebrating Jesus, our King, the one who came for our sake. Celebrating as we head into Advent next week and beyond, getting ready for Jesus and celebrating his arrival as a baby. It means celebrating what an amazing saviour we have. Christ, the King, an amazing rescuer for mankind, willing to serve, willing to suffer, because he loves us so much.